Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's been so long. Here we are. We're so excited. It is your two favorite hosts of your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast, Grey's Academy. I am Kelsey.
And I am Carmen. Goodness, forgot so. It's been so long.
Don't even know how to do this anymore.
But it is a beautiful day for a podcast. And we're so happy to see you guys. Guys, it's been a journey, I think, is an understatement.
Yeah, we've been through a lot since we last talked.
Some things we can talk about, some things we can't talk about, some things we shouldn't talk about, but might still talk about. Yeah. Who knows?
Carmen's been out of the country. Carmen's been to my house. Carmen's been to Blink 182. Carmen's been so many places.
I held a baby today.
What? Whose baby did you steal?
I didn't. First off, for legal reasons, I didn't steal any babies. I didn't steal a baby. That was my good friend, Alita. She had a baby and she works at the school that we take Marlo. And she was like, yeah, she's in the classroom so I can go see her whenever I want. And I was like, wait, I'm going to go hold her right now. And she goes, that's a great idea. You should go hold her right now. So yeah, that's, oh man. And we got some shout outs. We got some,
oh my gosh, so many shout outs. It's been like almost three full weeks since we recorded last. Also, apologies for missing last week. We really tried not to do that. And then the universe said, well, fuck you.
Literally. And also the authorities at JFK also to all of you said, fuck you.
And we
so
said,
I guess
right
let's
back.
Start. Let's start there, I guess. Should we just kind of share the story of like, because the whole reason that our recording is delayed is because of missing the flight coming back.
Yeah.
We were prepared to release this episode on Friday last week because we were going to record Thursday night instead of Wednesday night. It was just going to be one day late. And then coming from Spain back to New York, my bag, checked bag, which it was the weirdest thing. I've never heard of a flight making people check their bags back in.
And it's apparently not something every airline does.
Yeah. So this airline in particular made us wait for our bags, then recheck our bags just to get to our connecting flight, which I've always
go through custom and back through security.
And then my bag was, of course, the last bag off the flight. And the plane took forever for the bag. It's like 30 minutes for the bags to come out anyways. So we, poor Jessica, 5 foot tall, and then myself, poor me, having to sprint through JFK Airport, carrying my carry-on bag over my head. I went down two flights of escalators, then back up two flights of escalators, going from 0 to 100. I didn't even have a chance to warm up my hamstrings, my quads, stretch out my arches with a rolling pin, nothing. So we got there. We missed the flight by 2 minutes. The gate was closed. Then it was so wild. American Airlines could only book us on American Airlines flights, which their best option was you can take a cab from JFK to LaGuardia, then take a flight which has a connection. Oh, and also your first flight's delayed, so that makes your connection time 10 minutes. And you'll get home to Nashville at 1 in the morning. How does that sound? And we're like, that is just the worst. Everything is terrible here.
It sounds bad. Did you hear it? Because it sounded bad.
Yeah. Did you listen to yourself talk? So, and then I called the American Airlines
quote-unquote customer service line. Help desk.
The help desk, yeah. And they're like, yeah, so this isn't our problem. This is Iberia's problem. And I'm like, well, you guys are sister airlines. And they're like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Let me connect you. So I talked to Iberia, and they're like, yeah, we can't help you over the phone, but the desk agent can help you. And I was like, that just seems like that doesn't make any sense. And why even have a call center? So we had to leave through security, go all the way to the help desk for them to tell me that, yeah, again, for them to tell me that it's Americans' fault, not theirs, but they can get me on a Delta flight for some reason. And then she's like, you have an hour to get to this next flight. Good luck. And then hands us the tickets, and then we leave. And we have to get through security. We were in security, the line, for about 20 minutes, and we're like, there's no way we're going to make our flight. There's no way. There's 30 minutes left. There's no way. Because we still needed to get through security, then get to the gate, everything. And this wonderful woman with her husband and her two young children coming back from Switzerland, going back to their home in beautiful Vermont, were like, hey, did we ever hear you guys have 30 minutes to like get to your flight? And we're like, yes, and we've already missed one today, and we've been traveling since 7 a.m. Madrid time. We're like really struggling. And she's like, just cut us. And let me tell you, none of these New Yorkers moved out of the way to let us get to the spot where she was like ushering us to. And I bumped into people. I gave them dirty looks. I did not care. So the end of the story is we ended up making that flight, but it was delayed. So we sprinted again back down those two escalators we just came up, and then up the escalators that we went down, and got back to the gate. Basically, we were as the last gate at the end, but we caught that flight. And then sweet, sweet Kelsey drove round trip from Chattanooga to Nashville, picked us up. We got Sonic on the way back. Shout out to the Rainbow Slushy. and the Route 44 jumbo size?
Yes, I do love a cherry Route 44 limeade. Diet cherry limeade.
Yes, yes. So, and then we made it. And then, you know, other things happened. But,
yeah, it's been down.
But we're good. We're good now. Everything's great. So, needless to say, guys, you can blame the Iberia airline for
JFK.
Us and at JFK specifically. Yeah, I'll blame New York, really. They're the real problems here. And yeah, we did meet in the airport in Spain. We met this really, really sweet girl named Edia, and she is a comic book artist and illustrator. So she was like our tour guide through the Madrid airport, and she's like asking people questions because she also was going to JFK on the exact flight as us. So we traveled the entire airport together. We got coffee together. We got Spanish Burger King together, which tasted exactly the same as regular American Burger King. So, but Spanish McDonald's was not good, for the record. Spanish McDonald's was mediocre at best. So much fish, so much seafood, octopus on a stick, on a skewer. I had my weight in anchovies and sardines in Spain. I ate paella, which was fantastic. I got very intoxicated at the wedding. I wore a pink suit. Jessica gave a wonderful matron of honor speech. And there was a pool party where I was getting everyone together for pictures.
Well done. So proud.
No friendship shots, though.
No.
Sadly. So.
Okay, so that was the story of why we are here today on a week late, and we apologize, and we appreciate your patience, and we are doing our best, and our best is being very, very sleepy, and trying to get back into the actual life of me no longer having an extra toddler.
Yeah, shout out to Kelsey. That was not an easy feat for them for that week.
We had a good time a lot of the time. And then they were like, we're done with this. And I was like, well, we're not actually done with it, though. So here we are.
Yeah.
Okay, so shout outs. Let's start. Because it's been like 3 weeks since we recorded last. Because we were kind of ahead of ourselves. to no avail. So we are going to start with our new Patreons. We have Kaylee.
Kaylee! Shout out!
Maria.
Maria! Shout out!
Brianna.
Brianna! All the shout outs.
Sarah.
Wait, was that Sarah?
Yes.
Sarah, shout out. Ooh, Sarah. Ooh, ooh, Sarah. All right.
And so finally, Megan. Melodies.
Megan, Megan. The best part of waking up is Megan in your cup.
That's like a weird cannibalistic thing that you just did there, but that's all right. We do have a lot of Megans and we love them all.
We do. And this was, what a time. What a time to be alive. I've also met some Megans in Spain.
Oh.
Yeah. Met some Sarahs, I think. Didn't meet any Kaylees.
Thank you all so much for joining our Patreon and our Discord. And we've been chatting with people on Discord about various things. We just love everybody there. We love everybody.
Yeah. I also have, we have a new thing. It's a thing. The reviews
on
iTunes. Let me go to the page here. Sorry. I'm the worst. I forget how to navigate this sometimes because I listen to my own podcasts on my phone. The ones that I have created and I put in my phone. All right. This is titled Yes, Yes, Yes! Exclamation point. It is 5 stars. The username is 123A48K. It is not a robot, I hope.
No, it was Brianna.
Yes, from Morgan. If you are a Grays fan, this is the podcast for you. A super fun rewatch podcast. These two hosts provide a great quirky perspective on the series and dish a hilarious commentary. One host has seen the show countless times and the other must have recently moved to daylight from under a rock because he has no knowledge of the series. That gets me every single time.
Brianna, when Carmen first read this to me, I was like crying. I was laughing so hard. I was like, this is incredible.
I can confirm. Yeah. She said it's like that's the most backhanded compliment that she's ever heard in her entire life. And it is true. It's so funny.
I love it. It's so petty and I love it.
No spoilies here. So grateful to have happened upon this podcast when I did. And I look forward to many seasons to come. Brianna from Morgan. And then I think that same Brianna, I messaged her.
Yes.
And she's been using our podcast as a motivator for walking and dieting and her weight loss journey. And she's been down 85 pounds because of our podcast. Exclusively the only thing that's causing her.
obviously
that's not. Seriously, Brianna, that is just absolutely incredible. Yeah. Good for you. And we're honored to be a part of that journey.
It's very, very impressive, and we love it. We love a health journey.
We just want everyone
to be their best self. Okay, should we talk about Grey's Anatomy now that we're 12 minutes in?
Sadly, I have more shout-outs.
Oh. It's going to be a long one today.
Diana,
sorry, Clara.
Not Diana. Sorry, Dana from Ontario, Canada. Has her own cleaning company and follows us. Shout out. She messaged me the other day, 1:30 a.m. listening to the podcast at work. And then we've got, let's see, so much fucking shit. Why? Brianna is planning an international trip next year. So hopefully we can be of some help to you for your planning. We have Meg, who actually, this might be the same Meg, but I was talking to her on Instagram in July, and she's finally caught up, finally. She said that you and I have a fun dynamic, and she loves the podcast. Keep up the good work. There's other things that she said, but I'm trying to get through everything because I have a lot of shout-outs, and we don't have a lot of time. So maybe I'll just circle back to some of these. But yeah. Our friend Story, with an I, has been watching Grace for the millionth time. And she is always excited to watch the next episode because she wants to listen to us and make our fun predictions. Let's see. There's a couple other ones that I think I might just save for the next episode. I'll just remember to do that. But yeah, let's talk about the episode.
Okay, guys, let's see if we remember how to do this podcast, because it's been so long. This is episode 13 of the 7th season. It is episode 139 overall. It is called Don't Deceive Me, Please Don't Go. And that is a song.
Don't Deceive Me, in parentheses, Please Don't Go, is a song by James Brown off of the album Messing with the Blues. This one here was hard to find some information on. It doesn't look like it charted, neither did any of the songs, but it was released in 1990. And for anyone who doesn't know, James Brown was most famous for his role in Rocky IV, where he...
Speaking of 1990, the year I was born, my birthday is Wednesday. So by the time this comes out, it will have been my birthday.
It's true. We'll make sure to have a, well, you'll have to give yourself a shout out on the Instagram page because I don't have access to it. and then I'll shout you out on the Discord.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but this is a double album and it has 30, and I quote, of the bluesiest items that they were able to find, end quote, from after items. And these songs were between 1957 and 1985. So he was covering a lot of these songs from this. Artists like Roy Brown, Memphis Slim, Ivory Joe Hunter, Fats Domino, Chuck Willis, Billy Ward, etc. A lot of really just incredible blues artists. So, but this song was an 11-minute cover of Chuck Willis's Don't Deceive Me. And 11 minutes for a song, that's a bit too long already. It didn't make the iTunes
It does cut. Feel like a lot of song.
It's, to be clear, so okay, I got to break this down. Objectively, blues is so, so incredibly hard because it's you rarely do the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. Blues, jazz, it's a lot of improvisational music. So objectively, 5 out of 5 on the skill rating. Subjectively, not my cup of tea. Also, 11 minutes is too long. We'll do a 1 out of 5. Did not make it to the iTunes playlist, but still talented. And it's James Brown. He's wickedly talented. So not famous for only his role in Rocky IV.
Thank you for clarifying that.
Yes. All right. Podcast time.
Yes. Okay. So this episode was written by Mark Wilding and directed by, are you ready?
Oh.
Kevin McKidd, the actor who plays Owen Hunt.
Whoa.
So this is his first time directing anything. He was apparently very nervous. And Patrick Dempsey called him the night before and was like, don't be nervous. I promise to do whatever you tell me. And I was like, well, yeah, that's your job as an actor. Okay. Yeah. But he does love directing. He actually has directed multiple other episodes of Grey's and I believe Station 19, but I'm not positive on that. So this was his first ever episode directing. Shonda loves and to give that makes sense. That shot. Cause he's not in it like hardly at all.
Yeah. Cause he's not in it at all. Yeah. That's what I was like thinking. This is a great episode for Owen. And honestly, it's a good episode. He did a good job directing. I thought, at least.
Yeah, it's a good episode. I agree. Sorry, I was reading my note and I was very confused by the autocorrect that has occurred. I'm really not sure.
Is it duck?
No, it's not duck. That's pretty clear.
Also, I just got to tell you, yeah. We were at your mom's house and she mm-hmm. really was like, hey, let's go outside, but you should put bug spray on. I was like, nah, I'm good. We got there for 5 minutes. My entire legs are destroyed.
Yeah, she was not
We got lying. There for 5 minutes. I have like 30 mosquito bites. I didn't even feel them.
Should have put on bug spray.
I guess so.
This episode aired February 3rd, 2011 to 11.18 million views. And now Carmen's going to fill for time because I forgot to open the synopsis because I don't know how to have a podcast anymore.
That's okay. I have another shout out I'd like to give.
Oh, perfect.
I would like to give a shout out as well to Becca. Our friend Becca was messaging back and forth a little bit. She loves, obviously, how season 6 ended. She loves the predictions. And I read this live on air last time. So this is just a continuation shout out for Becca, because I did respond, and I was telling her all about the food in Spain. And also shout out for complimenting Jessica's dress. Not shout out though for not complimenting my suit. And she's outside of London. So next time we go to London, we'll have to go see our new friend, Becca. And then
okay. I'm ready to talk now.
Ready to talk.
Okay. So the Netflix synopsis is: Meredith feels left out when Derek breaks ground on his clinical trial. Bailey's new idea does not go over well with the chief. Okay. Hulu. Can you guess what it says?
The exact same thing in reverse.
But less. Meredith feels left out when Derek breaks ground on his clinical trial.
Shut the fuck up. What?
That's what it says. No one, they're not even trying. They're not even trying. I don't believe that they're trying.
No, they're not.
Okay, so let's start the episode. I want to start with just talking about the trial. Okay, this is like a through storyline, right? A couple episodes ago, he got the grant for this trial. That was what they went to the bar to celebrate when Christina was bartending. So now we're seeing that come to fruition. They're not like, oh, this happened and now we're never going to acknowledge it again. It's real and it's happening. Yay. So he has Alex as his resident working on the case with him. Meredith doesn't love that. She's jealous. We didn't see this process, but it is alluded to that he let every resident apply to help him on this trial except Meredith, which feels bad to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that. And I remember there was, you know, that episode where he was like applying for the grant and he's like, I can't think about Alzheimer's because you make me sad. Which feels like a him problem.
Yeah. Like, he should be probably going to some therapy.
Yeah. Well, honestly, a lot of people should. Yeah. A lot of them on the show, some of them in real life. Who's to say? So the way that this trial works is they've developed some kind of medication to inject into the brain to stop the progression. So they have to have Alzheimer's. It won't reverse anything, but it will stop it from getting worse. This is called a blind study.
Let us not forget that the reversal has happened in monkeys and rats.
Yes. So this is a blind study, which means that they don't know until they get into surgery which patient is receiving the medication and which patient is receiving the placebo. I guess would just be like saline. I don't know what you can insert into a brain without any effect.
Cocaine. Directly onto the wall.
This is making noise. My microphone is like falling down. I don't.
It is making noise, but it's all good.
Sorry. Okay. So, Meredith basically wakes up and Derek isn't there, and because he's already at the hospital working on the trial with Alex. And then later on, she's like, you didn't say good morning before you left. He was like, I didn't want to wake you up. She's like, no, you don't want to talk about the fact that you wouldn't let me do this with you. And he's like, well, that's true, because I suck a lot.
It is. That was a funny scene, because he's simultaneously, because Alex walks up and she's like, you let Alex on this case? And yeah. Derek has a very unique way of saying, you're right, you weren't able to do this, you're excluded, also love you, bye. And then she's like, you're the worst, and he just blows her a kiss. Like,
she's right, he's the worst. So then they're like meeting with all of these different couples, because everyone, I guess, has to have like a support system in place to go through the trial, which makes sense. So they're meeting with all these different couples, and this one is the husband has pretty progressed Alzheimer's, but also like, well, still has moments of being lucid and everything's fine. And that's like, they have to have the moments of being lucid because that's when they consent. Obviously, like, they can't consent if they don't have those moments of clarity and like present. So he's already done that. Also, they have like very different bedside approaches because Alex is being very straightforward and Derek's like, we have to low key promise without promising that everything's great. Otherwise, they won't do it, which I don't love, but I understand, I guess, but I don't like it. It feels weird to me.
Yeah. What was his reasoning? If they have the hope,
yeah,
then
she'll be a better, better
caretaker. Yeah.
Yeah. Then Alex is being a turd to Meredith later on. And this husband like has, I guess an episode. I don't know if that's what you would call it. Like he's no longer lucid and he's like, where's my wife? Where's my wife? I want my wife, but it's not the woman that he came in with.
Bum, bum, bum.
It's someone named Victoria. And
what a hoe.
Meredith is able to like talk him down and get him to calm down and no one else can. There's obviously she has the experience talking to Alice when she's wasn't lucid. And so Allison, the wife, tells Meredith like, oh yeah, I know who Victoria is. It's the woman at the nursing home who he's in love with. And she's also married. And it's very upsetting. It made me feel very sad in my heart.
Yeah, it's also, for the record, she's not a hoe, guys. I was kidding. It's a very interesting, because she doesn't have Victoria doesn't have Alzheimer's. She has vascular dementia.
Yeah.
Which, coincidentally, my grandmother had, and yeah, she recently has passed away. But there's like an element to Alzheimer's. I don't know the exact difference. I'm sure if we did a deep dive in this real quick, we could share that. But the husband of the woman named Victoria also does not have any brain dysfunction. Ailments, thank you. And then Daniel's wife, Allison, also doesn't. So Allison and
both fine.
The husband, they're just like hanging out, watching their significant others, like deliberately, but against their own mental state will, kissing each other. And then even Alex was calling it out. He's like, this is all jacked up. Like, this is wild.
Yeah, it's so bizarre. And I don't like it. It just makes me feel sad for them. Yeah. And Allison even says, like, she was at the nursing home with Daniel. And he was like, hey, wheel me over to that lady. And she was like, and then I just watched them be in love with each other. I was like, that's so sad.
Yeah. Especially because we get their backstory, too. And he pursued Allison for, what, 6 months or something? It was like a long time.
Oh, yeah. I didn't love that.
Yeah.
He's like, she's like, he followed me to my class every day for 5 months and then just sat outside of it. I was like, I don't like that. I understand that in this context, it was meant to be sweet. In the current context, that feels like stalking.
Yeah. Well, you know, they say there's a fine line between chivalry and stalking.
I don't know if they say that.
Lots of people, I've heard it many a time used to me, ironically. I don't know. I hear it now. I get it. Just kidding.
Yeah. Everything's great.
I stalk my wife.
Did you? Well,
actually,
a bit,
I made
that
a
is kind of true.
I made a. I don't remember what the exact context was, but I made a killer roommate joke about how when people move in, it's hard to like get them out of your house. And I was like, yeah, I had a roommate move in like 6 years ago, and they're still living with me. And then now I have a third roommate that they just made out of nowhere.
That just showed up one day.
And my one roommate's trying to make me make another roommate.
So many roommates.
So many roommates.
I have a roommate barking right now.
My roommate's just a pussy.
Oh.
It's my cat.
I understand.
Okay. She's been very sweet lately. She missed us very much.
So, yes, they're stalking. And then she's like, please give Daniel the drug. And Alex is like, I can't give her the drug. I don't know until we get in there. And she's like, just give him the drug. And Alex is like, I'm not good at this. And then goes to talk to Meredith, and she kind of like gives him tips on how to be there for people in that scenario and whatnot. So
that scene was hard. Sad, because I think when she was peer pressuring Alex, that was the scene that she also said, I can deal with a part-time husband, but I can't deal with nothing.
Yeah.
Or something like that. Something to that effect.
Yeah. Like, she can't lose him all the way, basically.
Yeah. That, do you think you could handle being in a clinical trial like that? Especially, I actually didn't realize what a blind clinical trial was. And this makes so much sense.
Yeah, it's scary. I don't know if I could do like really any clinical trial. I mean, it would obviously depend. I'm sure when you're in that scenario and you're like looking at possibly losing someone, I'm sure you make different choices, but it's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a tough one for me. I don't know if I could do it.
Okay, so yeah, it's basically just a lot of that back and forth, and then Daniel ends up getting the placebo, and it's very upsetting. He wakes up from the surgery and asks for Victoria, and the wife immediately leaves and is like, fuck this. And Alex is like, maybe the medicine will work, which is a lie because he didn't get any medicine.
Hey, maybe that saline will work and fix. Maybe saline's the gift we needed all along.
Yeah. And then Alex goes to Derek and is like, bro, I cannot do this anymore. You need to get your wife in here. Like, this is fucked up. I cannot do this on a regular basis. And Derek's like, no, you handled that so well. And he goes, yeah, because Meredith told me what to say. Like, she knows this disease. You need to let her do this with you. Like, get over your bullshit and do it.
Yeah.
And he does.
So I like that scene because we get vintage Alex, but like evolved, you know, because he's like, yeah. Hey, I'm out. I can't do this anymore. Like you said, get over your beef. But also, I am in the running for chief resident. So if you could just ahead and tell Dr. Weber that I put the patient's need ahead of my own personal gain, that would be great. And it's nice because, yes, you are doing the right thing ultimately. But it's like the typical Alex thing of like, I'm going to need to make this as very clear as possible. I need you to do me a solid here.
Yeah. Don't tell them that funny. I quit. Tell them that I realize someone else is more suited for the job, which makes me selfless and wonderful.
And perfect for the chief resident job.
Okay, so let's take a quick break from a sponsor, and then we will talk about something else. And we're back.
We are back. There was one thing. Could I just add on to that storyline? I didn't want to pause the regional sponsor because it was perfect timing. It was like almost exactly 30 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
But we get that scene with Alex and Meredith where they were talking about when she was in a non-lucid state with her mom.
Yeah.
And how she had to go get tested for, what was it?
Oh, an herpes? STD.
An STD.
Like gonorrhea, maybe? I don't remember what chlamydia or gonorrhea, maybe? It was one of
herpes. Those it was herpes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's just funny because we get these funny, just little scenes with Alex and Meredith sprinkled throughout the show. Mm-hmm. And I've grown to really like them because there's always this really serious moment that the tension is cut with a comedic joke.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is basically every relationship conversation that you and I have. It's
not wrong.
It's very serious, and then there's a joke.
And then it isn't.
And then it isn't. And then
Wouldn't
our parents
that be
get
nice
divorced.
For other people?
Yeah. Mom and dad are fighting. It's okay.
Fine. Everything's great.
But yeah, those scenes have really, like, I really look forward to those. And they don't do them every episode, which I think is great. They mm-hmm. pepper them in just enough. But it seems
them.
Like that where we get to see, you know, the Meredith growth, the Alex growth, and their different mm-hmm. journeys. So I wanted to make sure I really called that out.
I agree. Okay, so should we talk about Callie and Mark in Arizona?
Ugh, this fucking storyline. Because it only ends in heartbreak.
Not really.
Poor Lexi.
Oh, right, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that part. Yes, that is heartbreaking.
All right. Where do you want to start with Mark and Callie in Arizona? And what is her name? Dr. Lucy?
Lucy Fields.
Lucy Fields.
Yeah, give me your take on Lucy Fields.
I like her. I like her. I think she's good.
She's a blonde with curly hair.
I didn't think she was that attractive, though.
Oh, really? Interesting.
I loved her hair. I didn't vibe. I thought, you know, her face was just kind of, you know.
Well, let's not be mean.
Lucy Field. I'm just saying it's not my... okay.
You can say that she was not the most attractive for you. That's fine.
She wasn't the most attractive for me, but it was...
That's fine.
Okay, all right.
All right. It's fine.
I think that Cali and Arizona have prettier faces.
That's your business.
Lucy Fields is also pretty. To people.
To people.
But I thought she had a really just very fun when she said everybody's just wigging out, and then they all looked at her. I had to watch that scene a couple of times.
I love when she's like, "We got a lot of doctors in this room."
And then she quips back with Mark. He's like, "Who the hell are you?" And then she's like, "I got this. And also, who the hell are you?
Yeah, can I help you with something?
Yeah,
Leslie I liked her though, baby daddy.
Yeah, initial reaction is positive. Lucy can be official prediction of August 2024. She's going to be on the show for the next 19 seasons.
The next 19. So if we're in season seven, she's going to be there until season 26, which has not yet occurred.
She's going to outlive Meredith Grey, Ellen Pompeo.
Callie is like, well, first she tells Mark, and that's a cute little scene.
She says, "Growing like a weed in my uterus," and he goes, "No, not like a weed,
like a mighty oak." She's like, and then he realizes that it's not going to be good with Lexi,
and he realizes it's so nonchalant. They're like, "Well, we can't be together, obviously. Like, I'm in love with Lexi," and he goes, "Oh shoot."
Oh yeah, that's right, because he proposes.
Yeah. Lexi. Oh, goodness. All right, continue. I'm sorry I cut you off. They're just so funny.
They are funny. And so then first she goes back across the hall to the other apartment, and Arizona is there, and she's like, "Just let me process it, blah, 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 blah." And then she says that she's in. She just needs time to process. But I don't know if Arizona would have stayed if last week they had not been like, "All you do is bail."
You think so?
I really kind of do.
I mean, they called her out on her bullshit, and she's trying to actively not be on her bullshit.
Yeah, but like, if her bullshit is just who she is and like what she wants in life, that's her choice. But like, is she just doing it to prove the point of like, "Well, look, sometimes I don't bail," but I'm like, but if this is not the situation she wanted at all, like, it's not even close. So
right.
I feel like if ever there was an okay time to bail, it was maybe this time.
Yeah, agreed. And also, at a certain point, this kind of bailing, no one would be like, "Oh yeah, like Arizona."
Yeah, no one. I don't know that someone's going to look at that and be like, "Wow, she's in the wrong."
Yeah. It's and not many situations like that in life occur, you know?
Yeah.
Like, there is a friend of mine who is in a relationship, and they've been together for quite some time, and they don't know if they want to be together. And, well, she knows that they want to be together, and he's like, "I don't know if I want it." And I'm like, "Dude, you gotta figure out your crap, because at this point, you're stringing her along, and it's not good." So, yeah, you just take the time, bail out, and deal with the repercussions for a little bit. Maybe those two people hate you for a little bit, and then you get over it, and then life is fine.
Yeah.
Because...
I don't know that Mark would hate her if she bailed, honestly. I mean, I think he would be unaffected. He would probably back whatever opinion Callie had about it, but
yeah.
I know that he would be like, "Oh, Arizona, the devil," because they were already broken up when it happened.
It's true.
So... Anyway, so Arizona's like, "Yeah, I'm in. I'm just pissed off about it." And so then Callie,
which is fair,
gets really nervous and goes to the OB at the hospital. And they're like, "Good news. Everything's fine." And she says, "It's not fine. And I just know it." And she's like, "There's a feeling in my gut." And Mark says, "In your abdomen? And she goes, "My metaphorical gut."
Yeah.
Also, when she says, "I'm a hormone casserole," I was like, that is so relatable. When you're pregnant, like, that's just the best descriptor.
Yeah. Well, that came from, so she pages them 911,
which and feels unnecessary, Callie.
He said, and I think what Mark says is, he's like, it's either a 911 is someone is dead or dying. And that's when she's like, I'm just a hormone casserole.
She's like, Don't yell at me.
Yeah.
Which I love that scene where she's like crying and explaining how she feels. She's like, I don't want to mess anything up. Like, what if I do something wrong? And I understand also that feeling of being nervous and like wanting to make sure the baby's safe and you do everything right. And it's hard and overwhelming. And especially when you're like Callie and you've wanted it for so long, like that feels like a lot.
Yeah. And it's also, that's, I think, the same scene where she's like, I just feel like I'm a failure. Everything around me is failing. And I don't want to let anyone down. I don't want to let this baby down. I don't want to be the reason something bad happens.
Yeah.
And Mark just gives her a hug. And it's just so, so sweet.
Also, and all of these things happen in front of Lucy. Like, every single one of the scenes where they're all, like, losing their goddamn minds at each other, Lucy is also there. It's so awkward.
Yeah. When she just hands Callie the Kleenex, is just like, burp, 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 burp. And Callie's like, thank you, I need this. Yeah.
Well, at first they don't see a heartbeat because it's too early to have a heartbeat or to see the heartbeat on the ultrasound, rather. And then they go get a fancier machine and they do it and everything's fine. The baby's fine. It's precious. I also like the moment earlier in the episode when Callie's like, Mark, I'll give you an out. Like, you don't have to be the dad. You can be the fun uncle. And he's like, no, don't ever say that again. I'm this kid's dad. I want this kid. And she's like, then you need to tell Lexi before this baby comes out looking all Sloaney. Funny.
He just got so outrageously mad at being the fun uncle.
Yeah, but it's his kid.
Yes.
And he,
but
it was weird to me that she would suggest it, honestly, knowing how much he wants a family. Like, it was weird to me that she would suggest it. She was like pushing it. She was like, this is for sure. This will be good. I don't know. I thought it was weird.
I kind of read it as because, like, especially because the hormones and everything was going crazy, she was like, I don't want someone to feel peer pressured into this. Like, this is not a locking him up kind of thing. It's this was two adults making a decision. This is where we're the situation we're at right now. Mm-hmm. And this isn't your fault. And I'm not going to be mad at you if you bail. And it's okay. Like, you'll still be in this person's life. Like, we are best friends. It's all good. So I didn't see it as pushy as much as it was. I think that she was just not recognizing she was trying to care about other people's feelings so much so that it was annoying to him.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I read it.
Yeah. Okay. So then, everything works out there fine. And then Lexi's like, oh my God, Mark, I'm going to come over and make you dinner tonight. Isn't that so fun? So they're making dinner. She's like, look at me. I'm using tarragon. I'm so fancy. I'm like Gordon Ramsay over here. And then he just says, Callie's pregnant. She's like, oh my God, that's so exciting. Wait, when did they try? Wait, Arizona just got back. Wait. And then he just sits there and she puts it together. It's so sad.
How the hell did you get me in this position twice?
Which is a fair question. The odds of that happening do feel slim, and yet here they are.
The second one to me feels more
likely.
The first one, I'm kind of in my head thinking, give the guy a break a little bit. This was 18 years ago, Mark making a decision that came about, which in this next section of the sentence is going to be icky to say, Lexi, you were six. So, or eight, or however old you were. So, like, you were 8 years old when Mark became a daddy. And he didn't even know. He left. And that was a bad decision, and it caught up with him. Fine. But the baby's gone. Everything is fine. Now, he has impregnated his best friend, having sad sex for both of them to get over their breakups.
Like you do.
Like you do. Yep, when your best friends both simultaneously go through breakups, I guess that's what you do. And then, I guess my biggest concern is they didn't even eat the dinner. We don't even see, was the tarragon good? Because anyone can throw basil around in the kitchen.
We'll never know.
I feel bad for her.
R.I.P. to that meal. I feel bad for both of them because definitely like he wants both and he simply cannot have both. But it also raises the question, what did you think was going to happen? You both clearly have just such different life plans.
And desires. I guess my question for like, not question, but like where I want to see the next episode and kind of how it leads is, can this be a conversation? And also, technically, right now, Mark still has the choice between Lexi and being the quote father. Because this kid is going to be raised in a family, in theory, with two moms. Mm-hmm. So two moms and a dad. But the moms are married and the dad is just there. So there's some logistical challenges that I'm concerned that because of the high emotion in that scene, we don't get to flush out. So maybe the next episode, there's more dialogue around it. I'm hoping.
We'll see.
Next week on Grey's Academy.
Okay, wait, let me see. Where did my notes go? Okay, so was there anything else on that storyline?
Yeah, I have a couple notes.
Okay, what?
When we have Lucy Fields and she's with Mark and Callie in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And then when she first says everything is fine and she's kind of listing things off, she's like, yeah, no sex. No intercourse. And then Arizona's like, sing it from the rooftops.
Is so mean to Callie for being bisexual.
Yeah.
She's mean. I don't like it.
Yeah. I'm like, just shut up, Arizona. Just be in it.
Like, yeah. 100%. You guys were broken up. So like, I don't understand why you're being like that comment is like as though Callie had sex with Mark while they were together. And that's simply not what happened. So I'm like, what's the point of this comment? Like, what does this accomplish? Literally nothing.
And then so they're still pushing it, Callie's still freaking out, and they're like, obviously, there's so many doctors here, right? But then Lucy's like, guys, just go home and live your lives and like get sleep while you still can.
Yeah.
Which is so true.
It is true.
Also, as a sidebar story, so you know, the last couple of days we were at your guys' house and Marla was like waking up early and crawling into our bed. Mm-hmm. So she did it yesterday. She woke up when we got home in the morning and then crawled into bed, but did not want to go back to sleep. Instead, she wanted to watch Vampirina. Mm-hmm. This morning, I woke up before her and I went to bed and she just pulled the blankets over her head. And that just seems to me like a double standard. And now I'm annoyed with her.
Yeah. Wake up, but I'm going back to sleep.
Yeah. So if she can wake me up, I can wake her up. Little baby girl. Do. Yeah, it's true. And then Callie in Arizona, smush booties.
Do they?
Yeah, they were taking each other's clothes off at the end.
Yeah, but, you know, no sex, so.
They have outer course, not intercourse.
Ah, I see. Well,
yeah.
Good clarification on that, I guess.
Can I add another personal story?
What?
Never mind. I'm not going to. This one was going to be a little bit more on the teetering side of appropriate, so I'm not going to share that story.
Okay.
What else do you want to talk about with this time that we have left here? We're actually doing really good on time.
At the end, when Callie Storm is reading at home and Arizona comes back in and she's like, I'm moving you back in and you're just going to fucking deal with it and don't sleep with anyone else because we're together.
And I'll beat you up.
Yeah. And I don't want anything to happen to this baby. So sit down. It's cute.
It is cute.
What's not cute, in my opinion, is Mark telling Derek that he's pregnant and Derek being a fucking dick about it.
Oh, man. Thank you for bringing this up. This is my least favorite scene in the entire episode.
Yeah, I did not care for it at all.
Like, that's your best friend.
Yeah, and that's how you react when you find out he's having a baby, which is something he wants a lot. And then he's just like, ugh, Meredith and I have been trying for months and nothing happens and you just like look at someone long and they are pregnant. And I'm like, okay, that might be true. And I'm sure that that is very frustrating, but like you can still be happy for your best friend. Like, it's so fucked up. I don't like this man, you guys. This man is not, I don't like Derek. He's a bad friend.
Yeah, it's when, I mean, it's a tough scene that is broken with a little bit of comedy because Mark is like, well, Sloanes are unusually fertile. Like,
so true.
So, yeah, that's, I really don't like the way that that scene paints Derek, number one. But I also don't like that Mark is just kind of like, he seems to be just okay with it. He's like, oh, it's not really the advice that I wanted. They're old friends. And Derek's like, well, that's what you got. So cheers, bye.
Yeah, they're both not doing great. Not my favorite.
And it's sad when you think about where they're at. I can see where there's frustration for Derek.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I don't see where he's got to be an a-hole to his quote-unquote best friend.
Yeah.
Happy. You can be happy for him and frustrated with your own personal situation together at the same time.
True. Just ran over.
There was also a scene when where was it? So when he talks to Derek, was it the same scene? I'm looking at the notes in my phone. But he tells Derek that the cool uncle is only cool until like 9.
Yeah. And then it's just creepy.
I don't know where that scene was, but I have it with Derek somewhere in there.
I think it's when he tells them. He says, best news of my life. At least it would be, except for the fact that Lexi wants a baby is about as much as she wants a root canal. I guess I could tell her I'm the baby's uncle, but I don't want to be the cool uncle. The cool uncle's only cool till the kid's 9. Then the uncle's just creepy. I'm the dad. I want this and I want Lexi. What do you do? What do I do? You're the man with the answer. What do you think?
Okay, thank you. So that was the preface to that. You're right. Because I had all of those notes. And then also, the way that Derek just goes, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean she's pregnant? Well, you see when a sperm touches an egg, Derek.
You see when your best friend has sex with many, many women a lot of the time. This is what occurs. Some of the time.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, that was yucky for Derek. Not a good episode for Derek, in my opinion.
No. And I don't think I'm mad at Derek for the other things. Like, I actually don't think I'm mad at Derek for keeping Meredith off the Alzheimer's trial. For his reasons are not good for her. But I think his reason makes sense to him, and that's tough because, you know, as you and I have said a lot this weekend, we could see both sides.
Yeah.
Because what he is doing, he's doing it in trying to protect Meredith. But Meredith is seeing it.
Well, it feels like he's more just like, I'm trying to protect me. I can't.
Yeah.
I'm just sad about Meredith when I think about Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Which is fine. It's your wife.
But that's why you want to fix it.
You know, they can't fix Alzheimer's with a Post-it.
You don't know that. You're not a doctor.
Not a doctor.
Yet.
Yeah. Bad. Yeah. Honestly, listen, I might. I could run a hospital, I think.
A person hospital?
Who knows? Both.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. See what the universe has in store.
Yeah. So I think that's all the notes that I have for those two storylines. I just hope that I never react to, you know what? I do want to say this with Derek and Mark in that scene. I think that it would have been okay for Derek to be frustrated and then like backtrack and say like, look, I'm sorry. But instead he just leaves the freaking room.
Yeah. He's literally just like, well, I've made you feel shitty. So now I'm going to go.
Yeah.
Like that's not a good friend guy. Guys, Derek sucks. God, every time this happens, I'm like, I cannot believe how many people like this man.
Yeah,
like, I think love him.
Guys, I think on this one, like, you don't really get me on the Derek hate train, but I think this episode did suck for Derek a little bit. It was not pleasant to watch.
Yeah, I was so, you know, Dylan is in his initial Grey's watch, and I was like, oh, who's your favorite character? And he was like, Derek. And I was like, you need to leave my home now.
Oh, no.
He it's said a Derek good... and Christina. And I was like, those cannot, that is wrong.
Yeah, Christina sucks.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Get out of my house. You already did that.
The lack of Izzy love concerns me from people. Oh,
they love when people don't like Izzy because she's annoying as thick.
You know, I bet she comes back as a patient. And they all go,
she already
you
was
look,
a patient.
You look from, oh.
Remember? Do you remember? Yep. She was a patient because she had cancer.
Yep. Cancer. Cancer?
Cancer?
I barely know her.
We're right there. Amazing. Okay. I don't know. Is there anything else, or should we move to the next episode to do the other storylines?
Let's do another storyline.
We only have like 4 minutes.
We could make the next one longer. I've got more shout outs.
Yeah, you can do your shout outs now.
Now?
Yeah, do them now.
Oh, okay.
Or do you want to do them at the beginning of next episode?
We could do the beginning of the next episode. I need to collect my thoughts.
Okay. Guys, we'll see you in the next episode where we will start with shout outs and then everybody's favorite segment,